United States Holocaust Memorial Museum was dedicated in Washington this past Thursday, a ceremony marked by Elie Wiesel's impassioned denunciation of ethnic cleansing in Bosnia. When commentator Maureen Carrigan visited the museum yesterday, on its opening day, she too found the museum to be a morally restless place that inspires much more than safe, nostalgic shame about the Holocaust.
The last room you enter as you walk through the Holocaust Museum is called the Hall of Remembrance. It's the only room in the museum that you'd be tempted to describe as beautiful. A chamber with six high walls of limestone, it's empty, except for the light. Sunlight pours in through a glass ceiling. Rows of candles flicker against the walls, and in the center of the room, an eternal flame is burning. But yesterday, after 4 hours of walking through the dim, black and gray expanse of the museum, I reached the Hall of Remembrance and saw something jarring. A shock of pink. Next to the eternal flame, somebody had left a bouquet of pink roses and a card imprinted with the words, "Never Forget," above a pink triangle. That's the sign the Nazis invented to identify homosexuals. Now it's a symbol of pride. The dedication of the Holocaust Museum this past weekend in Washington overlapped with the Lesbian, Gay, and Bisexual Rights March. I'd like to think that by letting that pink bouquet stay by the flame, museum officials were affirming the rightness of that scheduling coincidence. I'd say that every fourth person in the museum crowd yesterday was a leftover marcher, women and men wearing pink triangle buttons, red ribbons, and rainbow necklaces. They already knew part of the lesson the Holocaust Museum dramatizes, that is, what it feels like to be feared, even hated, because of being different. But what they didn't know, what no one but the Holocaust survivors in the museum crowd knew, is what hatred of difference looks like when it's carried to its farthest extreme. Some philosophers have argued that the Holocaust is not a metaphor for anything, that its unique evil can only represent itself. But I think the designers of the Holocaust Museum disagree. They've presented the Holocaust as history and as a metaphor for the annihilation of difference. There's been a lot of coverage of the museum in the past week, so you may have heard about how it tries to break down an ordinary visitor's psychological distance from the Holocaust by making you walk through gates cast from the gates of Auschwitz and through an actual boxcar that carried thousands of people to the camps. You may have also heard about the oral testimonies and videos, the room filled only with musty shoes, the gas chamber door, the striped prison uniforms, the piles of rusty razors. Because this is such a nightmarish trip, the museum assigns you a spiritual companion, a real person who lived through the Holocaust and whose photo and identity card you carry with you. My guide was Teresa Halpert Katz, a Hungarian Jew and a good student whose traditional family refused to let her pursue her studies. I thought we were a good match. At printing stations along the way, I updated Teresa's story, and I learned at the end of my tour that she was gassed when she arrived at Auschwitz in May of 1944. So I was grateful that I was in the company of other people on my walk through the museum yesterday. Not that we spoke. Aside from a whisper here and there, nobody spoke. We couldn't even meet each other's eyes. But to be surrounded in that museum by hundreds of men and women who had marched on Sunday to insist that their differences be seen and respected was for me an unexpected grace, like a splash of pink amidst the colors of death.
Maureen Carrigan teaches at Georgetown University. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.